So, hey everyone, I'm Carl, and this is the Wednesday, June 15th courtroom observer meeting, and we're going to be going hopefully over what Mark you said had done, or what happened with him.
Yeah, but I don't see him on the call. Mark, are you there? Well, he might be just a little late, but anyway.
Okay, that's fine. While we wait for Mark, or if he doesn't come on, is there anything else you want to discuss before we may just go in and ask people of about their experiences?
I don't really have anything.
Okay. So let's open it up and see if anybody else has any other experiences or any other court cases coming up in the near future. So for anybody who wants to, the floor is open, and if you want to go over your court case and what you're doing, and I would prefer someone who hasn't actually done this before. I know there's several of you who I've heard of a lot of times, and so you know who you are, but let's try to open it up for people who may not have really talked about their case yet. Tim, do you have something to say? It's like your mic went on there for a minute. Okay.
Doesn't seem like anybody has anything right now. I wish Mark would get on.
Yeah, I
Is
wish you'd get
nobody
on soon.
Veronica.
Nobody.
Yes, he told you I was with him, right? Or I had gone down there?
Oh no, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, I was. I had gone down there, and I had gotten off the elevator and used the restroom. And as I was coming out of the restroom, I saw Mark talking to this fellow who was sitting on a bench. And Mark was standing up, and he saw me coming down the hall, and he says, "There's my witness. There's my witness. Now I can hand you the papers." And so what he did was he handed the man, the papers, and I didn't know who the man was, but I figured, well, he's got to have something to do with the sale because we're, here in near the jury room on the first floor of the Lackawanna County Courthouse. And anyway, he hands the man the papers showing that his case is still active in court. And I guess that he's got it in the Superior Court. I don't know all of the ins and outs about, so I do wish he, I hope he comes on. He could tell you more because he's been doing this like for 7 years, He found out how the monetary system worked and he just wanted them to do the right thing by him. So, nonetheless, what had happened is that the fella became indignant and he took Mark's papers and he threw them on the ground and he started to shout at him that he was nothing but a, what did he call him, a deadbeat or something like that. He was getting loud. And the sheriff's deputy came out just as I was pulling my camera out of my purse, out of my bag. And when he saw the camera in my hand, he started to pick up the papers. So I sent that picture out to several of the people around here who knows him and is aware of what's happening. Then at the end, and I was listening closely to what the protocol was with the sheriff's sale. And if what I heard, and I don't know it to be true at this particular point, I'd have to do the research on it. But as I understand it or understood what the fellow was saying, in this big room, the one who was doing the auction, there was like four people up there. There was the fellow who was doing the auction, there was two deputies, and there was another fellow that was reading off the list to find, you know, saying which ones were available for bidding and which ones weren't. And the way the process was explained is what I heard is that, and this is like 10 o'clock in the morning, so as soon as the sale was over, they read off everything that needed to be read off, and people bid on them, and so on and so forth. What would have to happen is that 10% of the bid price was to be paid right then and there, right after the sale was over. You know, they left the room, they go over, and I guess they pay. Then what was also said is that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, as I understood it, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the rest of the amount needed to be paid, check, cash, money order, however, you know, and so it would have to be paid. Now, the way this fella behaved out in the hallway, I was kind of concerned when Mark's number was called and they started to put it up for sale. There was a hesitation on this guy's part to say something and to bid on it, but he did. He took probably 30 seconds to a minute, you know, before he decided to say something. So he was hesitant, but he did go ahead and bid on it. However, his behavior kind of concerned me. So this morning I called Mark and I said, Mark, I said, you know, I said, why don't you check to find out if he actually paid the full price at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, to find out if, or was he just trying to set you up to get some sort of a confrontation going. And so I don't know what Mark did, so I'm hoping that he did. We went into the sheriff's office to find out who the fellow was because he wouldn't give us his name. And then when we came back out, I said, Mark, I said, I'm going to go in there because he's sitting right up front. I'm just going to go ahead and ask him for his card. So I went in, and in front of everyone, I'm about 50, 60 people in the room, I asked for his business card. And he said he didn't have one. And he kind of, you know, backed up as he said it. And then when I said, well, what is your name? And I had my pen and pencil, you know, my pen and pad there. He said, I don't have to give you that. And he was getting a little bit loud. So I just kind of, you know, turned around. And I thanked everyone for their time and walked out. So I'd like to know what happened after I talked with Mark this morning myself. So, but anyway, that's kind of a rundown of what Mark is dealing with, you know, from my perspective, and I was just kind of a witness there.
Okay. Yeah, that's.
Did he send you a picture, Laura? Did he send you the picture?
No, he didn't send me the picture. He just emailed what happened, and then I just talked to him today, but I didn't know there was a picture.
I'll send you the picture. Now, the picture looks kind of benign because, like I said, when he saw me pull that out of my purse, you know, my bag, he immediately, you know, got a hold of himself, and he started to pick the papers up after he threw them on the floor and acted the way he did. And this is the attorney, I guess, for Deutsche Bank, or Deutsche, however that's pronounced. And I said, Mark can tell you more.
Okay. Yeah,
anyway,
well, he was done. He said he would. I mean, I was hoping he'd get on it. He said he would.
I mentioned him about Thursday. I didn't mention about tonight. But since you talked to him, you know, he knows about tonight. So hopefully he will be here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go ahead and give him a call, and maybe that'll shake him up, okay?
Great.
All right. I'm going to mute out.
All right.
So, does anybody else have any experiences while Veronica is looking to get Mark on?
I have a quick question.
Oh, sure.
I had to take out a mortgage on my mother's property for her, well, what I thought was going to be her nursing home expenses, but what happened was actually she was euthanized, and so it was used for her funeral expenses. So I just got that paid back. Half of it was paid back, supposed to be paid back by my sister, and half of it was supposed to be paid back by me. My sister and I haven't talked since my mother's death because we were on opposite sides of how she should be treated. And anyway, so I got, it was supposed to be paid back May 1st of this year, which my half was. And what I wondered was, in order to avoid any problem, all I got from the bank was a release, a copy, not an original, but a copy of the release of the mortgage that looked like it had been through the county courthouse up there. But I don't have anything such as a bank statement. I got one bank statement showing that such and so amount was owed, but then that was supposed to be paid by my sister. I just don't feel like I've got all the paperwork I need, because all I've got that shows that anything was paid was something stamped copy that shows that it was filed with the courthouse. So what do I actually need to avoid any problems?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure I can give you a full answer on that. But I will say that the more information you have on it, the better.
I couldn't hear you. I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't you.
The more information, the better. I can't give you a definitive answer, though. But you would need some sort of statement, like you were saying, from the bank, or some signatured paperwork that releases.
I'll tell you what to do. Go to your town clerk and ask her to see the history on the property, and they will bring it up on the computer, and you can go over there and sit and look at it. Like if your house was built 20 or 40 years ago, you'll be able to look back on all the history and all the liens and all the owners. And then you can ask for a printout, and there should be all your releases. You know, so that you know there are no liens. That's what I did. You know, they've been all released.
Okay.
And then if anybody has any doubt as to, you know, and they want to cry for more money or they say you owe, just send them a copy of that. And it's called the, it's just called the data from the history of your property, you know, since... it's gone through how many owners and what years and what maybe what liens were on it and such. So that was really good to be able to do, and it really helped me out.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
So try that. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah. And what's your name? Your voice sounds familiar.
Sharon.
Sharon.
Yeah.
And Carl, what were you saying? Just get a statement from the bank and get,
yeah,
what was that? That you,
I was stating that they're going to, if she doesn't pay up for whatever reason, they're going to go after someone who can, and that might be you. So you would need some sort of statement from the bank if you want to avoid issues with the bank, stating that you don't have any liability on that mortgage. Now, I don't know exactly how that works, but that's sort of the process I would think you would need to go through, but I am no expert in that.
Okay, but you do feel, all you guys feel like I need a statement from the bank, like a printout showing a zero balance on it. That's what I feel like I really need to have, in addition to what Sharon just said, which is wonderful and I didn't know about, but my gut feeling was I need something from the bank. They showed I still owed something, but then they've never sent me anything. And it's been, you know, almost 2 months. They've never sent me anything that shows I don't owe them anything.
Right. I would just do that. So thank you for that. Does anybody else have any actual court cases now. I'll open it up to people who may have court cases coming up in the near future. Does anybody have any that they want to discuss that may be coming up within the next month? Nobody has any court cases coming up within the next month?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if I was unmuted. My name is Mark Kleeman. I'm a member here in Pennsylvania. And I had a case. I was doing Superior Court on appeal for my 7-year foreclosure. Rock solid, slam dunk, basically case. But the criminal RICO that's going on in the Lackawanna County Courthouse in Pennsylvania was in full gear. They brought in a judge with no oath of office since 92, and I got a letter from the Secretary of State stating that they've had nothing on him since, I'm sorry, through 95, all right? That's a whole other issue there. He's actually over the age of 70, which is illegal in Pennsylvania, but he claims he's getting all of his authority to operate without a valid and recorded oath of office from the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. He's getting authority that I have no idea how they got the authority to give him the authority. But in any event, let's get down to brass tacks here. They sold my house, and they were noticed about 6 times. Once in person by me, I had Laura phone him. I documented, I don't know how many, documents into the court system that went to the opposing attorney. Mark McAndrew here in Scranton, the sheriff, he was well aware of everything that's been going on. I served a notice to him right in front of witnesses, and they sold my house. So my due diligence today uncovered he has no oath of office, and neither did the county attorney that conducted the sale, which they call a solicitor here in this ballywick. So I'm SOL, and the only thing I'm going to be able to do right now, if I can't get any help from you guys, is possibly put together a federal lawsuit. I was due in court, getting back to what the initial question was, I was due in court very shortly. My brief was due on the 22nd of June in Superior Court in Harrisburg here in Pennsylvania. So now we got to contact that court and say, hey, basically, there's no reason to come. I no longer have that house. So I figure a federal lawsuit against the county of Lackawanna, and I mean.
Yes, I would still go. Federal is where you'll get due process.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I gotta read the rules.
Don't stay in the state court.
Yeah, I have to notify them and basically explain everything to them. You know what has happened, but oh, this is a damage. I mean, this is a severe damage. I mean,
no due process.
I'm a little bit tired, but
this case is about to open a common law court. If the NLA wanted to do something for us, teach us how to do that.
Huh?
Well, the only thing I was thinking that the NLA might consider doing for me is get me some kind of a writ to slam that courthouse and that sheriff and the county attorney with no oath of office. I mean, that just blew my mind, how a sheriff could be a sheriff with no oath of office. And I had that guy, he's sort of a friendly clerk.
Oh, he's not.
He checked three times.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but the norm is that they don't have an oath of office.
And that's the norm?
Yeah, that seems to be the norm. They don't have an oath
of
office.
Well, why aren't they all in jail? I mean, they're impersonating a public official.
Because we allowed it to happen. I mean, that's a sad
thing going on.
Yeah, I mean, we allowed it to happen, 20 years ago, 30 years
ago. I'm gonna do everything I can to rectify the situation and make sure they face consequences.
Go to federal court.
Yeah. Well,
and get your due process.
Yeah.
There's a commercial default process, too. You can commercially default them. Take that evidence.
Of course, notice and demand. Notice of default.
Administrative process, right.
So I'll address
the
thing you mentioned. The one thing is you have something coming up on the 22nd that you said you weren't going to originally go to?
Well, my brief is due in by the 22nd. My brief was due in. I don't have a you know, an actual court date yet. But that court that sold my house, they have no file. You know, I actually tried to file a rule to show cause to stop this. And the judge I went in front of, when she found out I was on appeal in Superior Court, she told me right out, point blank, we have no jurisdiction. I can't sign this rule. I says, well, they think they do because they're going to sell my house. She says, well, you better notify the opposing attorney. Of course, we did. You know, that's already been done before I was even standing there. But there was no jurisdiction there. In fact, I overheard and I caught the county attorney tell the opposition, you know, the attorney that appeared for the bank who ended up buying the house, he told him point blank, number one, this court is on appeal in Superior, this house is on appeal in Superior Court. Number two, we no longer have the file here. That's been sent since sent. And number three, what was the other thing he told him? He said, I'm doggone, I'm tired. But he told him. And the attorney, he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it. He wanted to go ahead with it. So they went in the back. I actually caught them, and I confronted both of them. I served a copy of my common law copyright to the attorney. You should have seen his face. And a copy of my Liz pendants, all right? He threw everything on the floor. He threw everything on the floor. He just had a little temper tantrum. Nikki witnessed it, all right? He started asking me questions, and I went off on him. I said, you got no business asking me. Who are you to ask me anything? I says, you have nothing. You have not a sworn statement from anybody. All you got is nothing. And he was ticked off. He wouldn't tell us who he was or anything. But I found out. I did some due diligence. I found out who he is. He's a local guy, and he has no oath of office. How do you like that?
Add him to the lawsuit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all criminals. And so help me God. As long as I'm walking the face of this earth, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that they face the consequences.
Well, when you sue their bond, they will never work again.
That's the thing we have to make sure. Management. I've got everything from risk management. I've got everything from risk management in that ballywick there.
And going,
you know? That's the thing. I'm thinking going to federal court and sue risk management of that county for all of these.
Well, why don't you just draw up an invoice or an affidavit of obligation and tell them how much they owe you for every time you went to court and every time they denied you due process?
Right. Look at my common law copyright.
About $50,000 a day or more.
$500,000 per incident. That's on my common law copyright.
And then send
it
to them and watch how fast they fly.
I got it recorded in the county since 2002. It's completely valid.
They're crooks.
So, oh, we got it. You can't even wrap your mind around it. And I was telling Nikki, we witnessed about, 15 or 20 felonies right there that day by these guys.
But they're going to keep going until we stop them.
That's right. They're never going to stop unless we do something.
Well, that's why we got to
sue. So help me God, when you don't have rule of law or due process, folks, you got nothing. You got nothing to lose. Everybody's afraid. Oh, we might get in trouble. We might get arrested. Well, I don't care. Come
and
get me.
You're going to be in jail anyway.
I don't care. Wait till I get out. And every day they put me away, they're going to pay. They're going to pay. If it takes me the rest of my life, I'll track them down. I hope they're listening. I'll track them down. I'll make them my whole life.
Let's not be threatening here. Let's.
Okay.
Well, they're going to face the lawful consequences.
You're right.
There's no threat. That's not a threat. That's a promise.
Yeah.
You're not going to do this to the people of this country and get away with it.
Absolutely. They're not going to get away with it. But the other question that you said was, where can we find information to open up our own court? And that information, if you are logged into the site, is under education. So you highlight education. You go down to the very last option called judicial. So it's education, highlight over it, and go down to judicial. And then there you should see court case examples. And that is the very first option at the top there once you highlight judicial. So education, judicial, and then court cases examples. So in there are some templates for people to use that they are allowed to open up their own court of record to get the file on demand. There's some really great items on there to show how you would have jurisdiction in a court of record that you can attach to some of the paperwork you're sending in addition. And I encourage people to take a look at it and educate themselves on it. And if they feel that it's good, then by all means, they could use it. So
that is good. But you know what? One of the things we face is there's so many different ways to approach this. You know?
Yeah, there are
there is more than one way to approach this.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the one thing we need, and this is the key, is we need somebody who's willing to enforce it. Unfortunately, the scope of this fraud is not just in the lower courts. It's also in the federal courts as well. So you're going to unfortunately receive the same response, I'm almost certain of it, in those courts, the federal courts, than you are in the current court that you're working with. Unfortunately, I mentioned yesterday that the marshals, they're all elected by Obama. You know where their mindset is, and they're not necessarily a friend of ours. Some of the sheriffs were hoping that a sheriff will eventually come to us and say, you know, I'm willing to enforce what you guys have, but even if we get a good sheriff, a lot of times someone like a Sheriff Grant is being assaulted by many people on many sides because of his stance, because he was protecting the Bundys or trying to protect the Bundys in that situation there in Oregon. So a lot of sheriffs are afraid. Some sheriffs, too, they may seem constitutional, but unfortunately, if you look deep into what they say and you look and see who's in their jail, a lot of times they're being held unconstitutionally. A lot of people are. So unfortunately, we haven't found a sheriff yet who says and who really means that he's going to enforce something that is common law, and he's going to you know, stop these people because there's a lot of pressure, and you know, they're trained to think that the judge is their god, unfortunately, and it's really sad in terms of being able to be told what to do, even though they have full authority to do anything that a chief law enforcement officer could do, which is really to enforce the law and make arrests on anybody. Especially someone who's threatening the public or violating the law in front of them. So really, that's our key. If we can find the person, I'm sure we're going to get the place. But unfortunately, for a lot of people, they have these great cases, but everybody in their county is corrupt. And what we're really trying to do is we're trying to poke around to find a weak spot in the wall of Jericho. And we're really trying, and we want to, you know, hammer that spot when we find it. So instead of, you know, attacking on all sides with, you know, small groups at a time, trying to find the weak spot and just flood into it that way. So that's sort of why we haven't proceeded a lot federally more with a bunch of cases. We're trying to focus more on the cases that we feel will work or put together a case that will be able to really crowd the courthouses along those lines. So there are plans to do such a thing, but we're still waiting for the, you know, some law enforcement officer to come to us, to be in communication with us, so that we can possibly discuss how to proceed with these corrupt criminals, because we don't want to, like many other people, go out there, put indictments out on some judges or some police officers or whomever, and then all of a sudden, you know, they laugh at us. The officer is not a friend of ours, and the next thing you know, we're the ones in jail. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, we're picking our battles now. But in the near future, I'm hoping that educating people, getting critical mass, a lot of support will be able to go forward much stronger. And once we get one of these cases in, we're going to get an avalanche more of people's support going forward. You know, it's the domino effect, and that's really what we're aiming for there.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So, does anybody else have anything they want to say?
Yeah.
If, okay.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. I just wanted to.
Peter in New York first. So, go ahead.
I just wanted to remind everybody, in some of these circumstances, some of the people are profiting personally, as are judges and whatnot, and some are just protecting the system. Our biggest problem going forward is all the people that are just protecting the system. They don't even know why they're protecting the system. They're just protecting the system because it's all they know. And that's why we're having an education problem more than anything. Now, I feel terrible. Your house has been sold. But again, don't leave it, you know, and work with, you know, there may be something like one of those What Lies in Your Debt or those other types of organizations that will go right for them in their own game that they understand. So there's ways to hit them, but you're fighting against people that are just protecting the system. So for us, we're playing this waiting game of trying to get people to understand what the real Constitution is, to understand the truth of the interpretation of, because a lot of people just look at it as like, you can't bring that old stuff up like it means something today, because it's about interpretation of the collective of everybody in the world, in our country, in our towns, but it's a collective acknowledgement of what we're trying. We are making our futures now, and this is the discussion across the globe, is, okay, what kind of legal system do we want to have? You're going to be a perfect example of a system run amok, you know, for just another bank to move it up the scale, up the ladder, so they can write off fake computer ledgers. You know, it's not even real to them. When it's us in our houses. I'm losing my house, too. It's us losing our houses, have to move our businesses and everything. I know a lot of people are just, they're going right back, they're putting locks on the doors, and they're going right back in their houses. And, you know, it's a paperwork thing instead of, you know, just, well, it's mine, no, it's mine, no, it's mine. You know, and they just want to win that, and they don't act on it. But we're trying to change the mindset of how, because they have to be released from the burden too. They don't know what the rules are. They're stuck in it. I know, you know, you must have lawyers, people in your, somewhere in your family or whatever, and you look at it, it's like, they don't know. They're just going along with, this is how the system is, so this is what they do. So somehow, in our conversations moving forward, is how to, when you're talking with them right there and you're on the spot, and say, look, I know you're not even aware of what you're doing to me here. But as we are attacking them in the hallways there, they're all turning on us instead of trying to get to a better world. And I think they want a better world too. But we're having a real problem communicating. And this is the big discussion, is how are we going to communicate, what kind of laws, what's we're going to work. Nobody even wants to be a juror. Nobody wants these jobs. You know, we're such a select few that even are concerned about it. So I'm hoping, you know, again, we become examples. I'm proud of you, all the work that you put into saving your house and all the...
How about thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods?
It's not going to be for nothing that you did all that work.
They know. They know what the difference between right and wrong. They're not that stupid.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I told that lawyer right to his face, that's all my house. I said, look, you know what you're doing here. You're learning it in school in the law. I also told him, the one other attorney says, well, you know, you got to read the rule book, then you'll understand what just happened here. I said, rule book? I said, this is nothing but a Dun & Bradstreet corporation. That's all it is. I said, you got to read the Constitution. He didn't say a word.
Yeah. Okay. Peter, finish up. I think what you're saying is really good.
Well, and that was the perfect what you just said. You know, it is. It's about a Wall Street roulette table that is running all of our lives.
Right.
Wall Street is running all of our lives. Their people's pensions are in it. Insurances on everybody's houses. Insurances on our cars. Everything is involved in it. And how we get the scholars to fix it is the issue. And, you know, and that's why we're all talking now. That's why we are involved. And that's why our houses and everything that we're doing is going to be the examples to maybe save our grandchildren, you know. But, you know, my heart goes out to you tonight. I'm going to be saying prayers with everybody else that something changes in your scene here. Something is acknowledged, you know. Something's going to happen for you. But again, what you focus on is what you're going to attract. So be really careful on what you're attracting, and put your focus on, you know, the outcome that you're looking for. You may have been focusing on catching them at their fraud, and you did, and that's what showed up all that day. So now focus on different results, on the further out part, how they're going to compensate you. Don't be caught on the material thing of the house itself, but now get compensated for your losses. You know,
you better believe
I'm willing to walk away from this house. It's just a house. But they will pay for the 7 years of misery of me not knowing what the hell if I'm coming or going. And the same thing for you. You're going to get them back one way or another. We're going to help you. We're all standing together on this, and that's really all I have to say.
It's basically treason and plunder. That's all we're talking here.
Interestingly, Mark did say that this morning to the fellow who's speaking, that it might turn out good. So, thank you for validating that.
Hello? Can I talk?
Yes, you can go.
Okay, hi. Yes, they've been messing with me for over the past 2 years. They want me out by the 30th of July. I've been filing my papers. As a matter of fact, I had been representing myself, and my attorneys that I had handling some other cases of mine, they were like, oh, well, you know, you're going to lose your house, and you need to move out, and blase, blase. And I said, first of all, I said, how am I going to lose my house when my house is paid for? Here's the copies of my deeds. Oh, and by the way, I used to work in the tax office. I did all that work since the 70s. I said, and who perpetrated the fraud and signed my name? Because no one can't sign anyone's name to a deed. And so when I asked them for a sworn affidavit, and it happened, as a matter of fact, at first it started with that PHH mortgage. And when I put them on the spot, they all of a sudden sent me the papers, oh, your house has been paid for. Well, if you go on the website for what is it called? It's called in Georgia, Columbus, Georgia, PHH Mortgage. The gentleman was just awarded $21 million for that PHH Mortgage out of New Jersey, trade and fraud. They all have when the GE. And I said, again, here's my deed. Here's all my papers. All the records are filed. I said, can I have a sworn affidavit? When I took a contract, they could not answer me. So what I did was when I went to the court, I asked, can I, well, we had put our paperwork together. I said, I would like to speak to Mr. GE Federal Credit Union, and I would like a sworn affidavit, a notarized sworn affidavit. No one showed up in court. I asked also to speak to Mr. UI. No one showed up in court. I said to the judge, I would like this case dismissed. And then he goes, and then I asked him, I said, am I a public servant of this court? He said, no. I said, is this my grand jury? He said, no, I'm the grand jury. I said, well, you just committed a treason, and I want your resignation. They told me to get out the courtroom, you know. Then when I sent the second letter going back, and I asked for the sworn affidavits for Mr. GE and and the attorneys and all them, no one showed up, and not even that same judge showed up. There was another new judge. He goes, I don't know nothing about this. I don't want to be involved with this case. You know, he goes, we got to go over this. He wouldn't come back. That same judge who has been taking everybody's property, he is retired, so he comes in per diem. And he is the one who's involved taking everybody's property. So when we went back, again, I said, can I have a sworn affidavit? And the people, again, wasn't there. So when they came back, she goes, well, Your Honor, he goes, yeah, we're back here again. We're taking the property. I said, well, how could you take the property? He goes, because it's my court. I'll do as I please. So that's where it basically stood with my case. So then we started sending them letters and stuff. And another thing, too, I don't know whether people are aware of. We in our state, we have judges who are also attorneys, so it's a conflict of interest. They're wearing all the hats. We don't have no sheriffs, and they don't even abide by the constitutional laws.
Right.
We had another incident, because I've been bringing people. We've been going to the courts because with all these other cases that they have, and they're setting people up, and especially with this new medication these doctors are prescribing from the high blood pressure, the diabetes, people are going into kidney failure. And also for the depression and stuff like that, people are forgetting. And they're very depressed, can't remember what have you. And so they're giving these people criminal charges. One of the cases we went to, and we won on that, because the person had mental illness. So what we did, I said, well, mental illness is a sickness, it's not a crime. So how in the world could you sit there and prosecute somebody who has mental illness, who has been in an institution? You know, the case was thrown right out. Again, can I ask and see when we're dealing with people, and when people are always calling me, I said, you go right to the top on down, because now they're all accountable for it, you know? And I tell them, make sure you get everyone's name, date, and time, and who you speak to, you know? And so when you put your case together, there's no, I didn't know about it, because find out who the, whether it's DCF, whether it's the court, get the names who's on top, you know. And I find that somewhat very helpful, too, you know, because I got a letter. I did a grievance, and the head of the grievance, he was also perpetrating fraud, so he got a nice little letter, you know. So every time they send letters, well, you know, this is something good that we can counteract on. But make sure you speak to or write to. Get the head person on top, their name and their title. And also, we got the jurist number because the attorneys, they don't even have a license. They have a jurist number. No? And they are the debt collectors. So we're making them very much aware, and as we tell them to go to National Liberty Alliance. So who's the highest person in the court and the debt collectors is the attorney and the judge. You know, so it's the life of their, you know.
Yeah, and thank you for that, too. Thank you for that. And I guess right now it's getting kind of late, so we're going to wrap it up. You know, it was a good call today, and I wish you all a good week if I don't talk to you or see you before then, and have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks.